Hello, and welcome to Eyes on Success, a weekly program of information on the ever-changing world of accessibility. Now here are the hosts of this program, Nancy Goodman-Torpy and Peter Torpy.
Hello, I'm Nancy.
And I'm Pete. On this week's show, we'll be talking about a GPS solution developed specifically for the visually impaired.
Sendero Group has been making GPS devices for the visually impaired since 2000. They recently partnered with the Seeing Eye Guide Dog organization to create their newest product, the Seeing Eye GPS app for iPhones. We'll talk with Sendero Group founder and CEO Mike May about its history and features. But first to our tip of the week. This week's tip is, although there are plenty of commercially available GPS units, it's nice for a blind person to have one that has features for the blind built in. And we'll be talking about some of these today.
And you may be familiar with some of these GPS units people use in their cars. They're not tremendously accessible for many visually impaired people. But particularly on many of the smartphones, there are GPS applications like Maps application on the iOS Apple devices and Google Maps. Yeah, you can use those and they are functional, but some of the applications and devices developed specifically for the visually impaired offer some other features that make it easier for a visually impaired person to use or just offer them more information in a more friendly fashion.
Turning now to our low-tech item, we'll meet Mike May and learn a bit about the Sendero Group.
Can you start by introducing yourself to our listeners?
This is Mike May in Davis, California, and I'm president and CEO of Sendero Group.
When did you start Sendero Group?
I founded Sendero Group in 1999 to bring location information to blind people, because the fact that there wasn't anything like that when you were walking down the street or coming to an intersection, not being able to have access to print signs, always just seemed like so frustrating to me. And when GPS came about in the 80s and 90s, it just seemed like an obvious solution. And so the mission has really been to bring location information to blind people in as many formats as possible.
And what does Sendero mean?
Sendero is pathway in Spanish. And when you're looking for a domain name, even in 1999, it's amazing how many were taken. Everything to do with wayfinding and pathfinding and the rest of it, they were all taken. And Sendero happens to work well in English, Spanish, German. It was just a good universal word. And so that's what we settled on.
So now you're the CEO and founder of this company, and you're visually impaired, I take it.
Yeah, I've been totally blind since the age of 3, blinded by a chemical explosion in a mining town of Silver City, New Mexico. And many years later, 43 years later to be exact, I had a stem cell and cornea transplant combination of operations, which gave me some low vision. I still consider myself blind because I operate with a cane or a dog and with Braille, but I do have some vision where I can see color and motion and some things quite well.
Do you have enough vision to use a CCTV, or do you use Braille and speech screen readers, things like that?
I can use a CCTV at about one letter every 10 seconds. It's so painstakingly slow that it gives me a headache. And by the time I get to the end of the word, I forgot what the first letters were. I guess I share some frustration of people who lose their sight later in life and have to learn Braille in their 30s or 40s or 50s. That's what it was like for me learning print. And so fortunately, being a strong Braille reader and computer user, I didn't stress myself out too much, and I've not learned to read print.
And next week in show 1351, we'll be talking with Mike extensively about his experience of losing and then regaining some vision. That will be fascinating. Can you describe some of the major products that Sendero Group has?
Well, Sendero Group has focused on GPS. We've gone a little bit off that course sometimes just because there was something interesting. But our main products have been GPS-based, and our goal has been to use as much commercial aspects of a product as possible because that makes it cheaper. So our first product was a laptop based GPS. So we did the software, no hardware. We purchased off the shelf laptops, notebooks, you know, smaller computers we could get. We cobbled it together in a backpack with a keypad, and we wrote the software. The GPS receiver was on the backpack, and that was our first system that came out in January, February of 2000. Since then, we've then moved into smaller and smaller platforms, starting with the BrailleNote products in 2001, where we were just another program running on the BrailleNote along with their email, word processing, and calendars and so forth. One could buy the option for a GPS program, which came with not only the software, but the maps and points of interest on a memory card and an external GPS receiver. And subsequently, we moved on to the Windows Mobile platform with Windows Mobile 6, and we had something we now call the Adventure Pack, but it was Mobile Geo with Mobile Speaks, and that was something we did in collaboration with Code Factory in Spain. And when Windows Mobile was discontinued, that product became somewhat obsolete. There's still people using it today, and it works fine, but there just aren't newer versions of it. And then we worked with GW Micro and now HIMSS on the Sense products, the Braille Sense, Voice Sense, U2, and the software for that is 99% the same as it is on the BrailleNote. So those are the two mainstream high performance, if you want to call them Cadillac versions of our GPS running on the Note and Sense products. And then we circled back around to the laptop this year, 2013, and we had made a Talking Maps version. And we really think there's a lot of value in the ability to do virtual exploration and to search when you're not in a place to find out what's around, which is much like sighted people would do with now with Google Maps or MapQuest. We did that with Atlas Speaks, and then subsequently on modern computers with Sendero Maps, and then that evolved into Sendero GPS and Maps. So a person can now get a Microsoft Surface, one of these little 1-2 pound tablets running Windows 8, and install the Sendero GPS. Some of those devices, not the Microsoft Surface, have a GPS built in, but otherwise you have an external GPS receiver and this little notebook tablet type device. And let's say when you're riding in a car, in a bus, and you're doing your emails, you could have the GPS running in the background and give you the play-by-play information of the streets you're crossing, the points of interest, and the same things that are available on all these different devices that I've just mentioned.
Do you have anything that works on the Apple devices?
There are no Sendero products that work on Apple Mac. There, of course, is a CNI GPS by Sendero Group that runs on the iPhone.
And I guess that's what we want to talk about today.
You are listening to Eyes on Success. Success, 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 success.
This week's focus topic is the CNI GPS app recently announced from Sendero Group.
It sounds like you have a lot of experience in these mapping and guidance functions and sell a wide variety of solutions, but the newest one is this CNI GPS application for the iPhone. Can you give us an overview of what that's about?
Well, our goal on the iPhone was to come out with the kinds of look-around features that are specific to blind people and that the mainstream applications on the iPhone would not provide. Mainstream programs like Navigun, Street Pilot, AT&T Navigator, and many more. They obviously had no incentive, with most of their customers being sighted, to provide what we call look-around information.
And what do you mean by look-around information?
The look-around information is what a sighted person would get with their eyeballs if they were in a car or walking down a street. They can read street signs. They can see the businesses they're passing and the names of the intersecting streets. A blind person obviously can't, and therefore we're using the GPS database of these points of interest and streets to trigger automatically to tell a blind person what they're passing, what they're coming up to. And we refer to that as look-around information.
And that stuff, as you say, is not generally available in these other mapping applications.
Look-around information is not something that the mainstream GPS application would ever have. And so we felt confident that if we could implement all of the traditional turn-by-turn GPS features that the mainstream apps would have. Then we add our look around, we would have something that would be useful and specific to blind people on the iPhone.
Look around strikes me as being similar to Street View, except dynamic. So Street View, you can ask Google Maps to show you what it looks like from the ground for a sighted user or a low vision user who just needs magnification, but only one spot. And then you have to move your cursor to some other location and say, well, what does it look on the ground here? Whereas your look around information, you're actually doing dynamically real time, and it's just telling you everything that's visible from wherever you happen to wind up as you're actually moving.
Well, the look around information can be used both in our virtual modes and primarily when you're walking around. That's really when you want to have it. But if I'm virtually exploring Rochester, New York, and I want to find a hotel that I'm going to stay in and where is it relative to different restaurants, I would virtually explore that using that mode of the Sendero GPS or Maps or BrailleNode or BrailleSense. Any of those products have a virtual mode. And as I virtually explored the streets, the nearby points of interest would also trigger, much like Google Street View would trigger for a sighted person looking in those areas. There also is a product that's really geared more towards children, and that's called APH PC Talking Maps, American Printing House. And we made a special version for them that had a few additional features. And there are a couple thousand of these out there around the country in schools. So kids can grow up with things that you and I didn't have, which is the ability to explore maps actively as kids. So it just becomes part of our way of doing business, part of our way of getting around. One thing that the APH has that's really cool, and it's not in our other products, is the ability to explore business by business down a street. So you can literally walk virtually from each business and know that they're 10 feet apart, and that after Starbucks is Noah's Bagels, after Noah's Bagels is Joe's Department Store. And if a particular doorway has multiple businesses in it, then the program will tell you that there's 8 things at this location, and you click on it, you press enter, and it makes it kind of a doorbell sound, and then it lists off all of the businesses that are in that location. And then when you're finished, you virtually come out, you continue down the street, you come to the intersection, and you have to press a button to cross the street. You have to press a button to turn left and cross, press a button to turn right. This is what's great about it for orientational mobility instructors. It's simulating what they would have a student do if they were walking with them down the street and narrating every step of the way.
That sounds like a very handy feature for someone who is visually impaired. I mean, sometimes the first time you're going through a new route, there's a lot of new information, a lot happening at one time. They don't have the attention bandwidth while they're walking along to assimilate all that information. But to be able to do the walk ahead of time on your own sounds like a very nice feature.
It's really true. And we've heard this in emails and testimonials from users over the years, how they love the application in new areas, but they also have discovered things in their own neighborhoods, in their own blocks, that they didn't even know were there because they always walked down the north side of the street and it turned out there was some intersecting street on the south, or there's some other business that they just weren't aware of. And it's not just mainstream businesses like Starbucks and McDonald's that are in the database. We believe that more information is better. So we have 15 million points of interest from the commercial database that trigger, and these can be home businesses, anybody that's registered at all. It's going to come up that TK Painting is across the street from you, and now you know what that guy does for a living.
How often do you update this database? Because sometimes businesses change.
Well, this is the beauty of licensing information, is we do not update it. It's the good news, bad news, because, of course, things do go out of business and they aren't necessarily deleted from the database. But there are a couple of companies that have multi-billion dollar operations collecting data, modifying it, updating it, and even to the point of actually going to locations and verifying what's there. So you'll have some cities that are 100% up to date, maybe some rural areas that are 90% up to date. It's rarely less than that. Businesses do get deleted after a year or two. We always recommend to users that if they're going to walk a long way to someplace, the database contains the phone number, call them up, make sure they're still there, and find out any details about that location. Is it upstairs? Is it on the street? Because those are the kind of things that with GPS, we'll get you to the vicinity, but we won't necessarily guide you right in the door because we don't know if it's 200 feet back in a parking lot or right up on the street. And so it's always good to check ahead of time to find out those, what we call the final frustrating 50 feet.
So if somebody gets to a location and discovers that, for example, they're off by 50 feet or it's really on the second story over the garage at the back end of the driveway or something, is there a way they can submit an update or a correction or, gee, this company went out of business, they're not here anymore, but instead of the bake shop, there's a florist?
The map suppliers have the ability on their websites to have users submit change notices about a particular place that's gone out of business, or maybe they're in a new condominium complex that hasn't been added yet. That's a little bit tricky to navigate. What we've done at Sendero Group for many years is provide users the ability to add and annotate points of interest. We call these user points of interest or user-generated content, and we work more and more to make it seamless so that when I make a change, that's easily uploaded to a server where that information is shared with other users. And that way we can work together to collectively augment our environment. And this is particularly useful because the Starbucks that I go to a couple times a week is a good 300 feet back in a parking lot. And its official address, actually all of the locations in this little strip mall, are at 825 Russell Boulevard, which is theoretically out on Russell Boulevard, far from the location of these businesses because there's a lot of parking between the street and the strip mall. So their doorways are not where the GPS would indicate. I've marked those locations, Starbucks and the yogurt shop and the rest of them, at their doorways. And so now a person going to that mall, what they would hear, Starbucks main door, the graduate main door. So you, by hearing that tag main door, you know that that's much more specific than just the general commercial location that says Starbucks 825 Russell.
Oh, that's a great feature. So I assume this is a database put together by Sendero users that they're sharing, which is complementary to the major database that you're licensing.
Yeah, that's correct. We try to encourage people to add data and then this gets shared. And we're also looking into ways of merging our data with other products, like the Trekker Breeze has their own system of user points of interest. There's a commercial database called Foursquare that has millions of users, and we're using that database on our iPhone application. And we'd really like to see that our data can then be merged in with some of these other databases, because the more the better, again.
Let me tell you, as a sighted person and the driver in the family, I would love to have all that information integrated into the commercial GPS.
Are there any plans to adapt this program to be available on Android systems?
We're thinking about Android for the CNI GPS, but at this point, our experience is that there are 10 iPhone users to one Android blind user. So a small market becomes a micro market. There also is a really good program already from APH, the Nearby Explorer, that's on Android. So I think that base is pretty well covered. Mm-hmm. That product is not available in Europe, so it's possible if we come up with the right partner and collaboration that we would do an Android product in Europe, but that's something that's just under discussion and far from coming to fruition.
That raises an interesting question. We've got listeners all over the world. What parts of the world is the CNI GPS usable in?
Currently, the CNI GPS is strictly US and Canada. We're working on a UK and European version. We hope to have Australia added. The Australia guide dogs folks have been very active users of GPS and have a number of options available to their users in Australia. And we'd love to give them an iPhone option. That's been something on our wish list since the beginning, but it's always a challenge in terms of the map database people that you're working with. And there's some limitations when it comes to Australia and New Zealand. New Zealand's even harder because it's just limited to one company. And if they don't share their data with other companies, the ones that we're using, then we can't get access to it.
And what languages does this work in?
The CNI GPS is strictly English right now. Obviously, if we release in Europe, it'll have to be ported to other languages. So that's why we're starting with the UK. And as we develop different partners, it's not too difficult to switch over. The user interface needs to be translated, but iPhone, Apple are already set up to work in a lot of different countries. So you don't have to do everything in the new language, just the user interface and the menus.
The other thing I think is really neat, which it really seems you've done, and a lot of adaptive products have come to do this in the past decade or so. When I started using adaptive products in the early 80s, these were all custom boards for PCs and, you know, custom hardware. And it's great to see the developers leveraging off commercially available products because it makes it a lot less expensive per user. And then also you get to talk with other users about their experiences in using these products.
Yeah, absolutely. It's really important to use whatever commercially available items are out there. And in our case, we're using commercial map engine and points of interest and maps. But then we're adding in our own accessibility layer in terms of the user interface and the look around information that we've talked about, user generated content. And I think there's a lot more. We have such a long laundry list of things we'd like to add. With our other products, we've been adding features based on user feedback for 13 years. We're only a month or a little bit more into the CNI GPS app. So we've got a lot of room for improvement. And there's things that are different about the iPhone that we haven't encountered before on the PDA products or the standalone products where you had a regular keypad on the old Windows mobile phone. Here you have a touch interface. So for example, if you can avoid having the user have to touch the phone to do something, it saves them time. Given circumstances A, C, and E, what would the user want? And if you can anticipate that and provide it to them automatically, then it enhances the product that much more.
Right. We're busy holding canes and dogs, and sometimes there isn't time to touch your screen and take some other action.
Yeah, absolutely. And with all our products, we've always viewed them as one-handed products. You've got one hand that's occupied, therefore, everything else has to be able to be done with one hand. In the case of our PDA products, most of the commands, the common commands anyway, can all be done with one hand. The other thing you can do with GPS is you can detect when the user is moving or not moving. So, for example, we created a mode particular to guide dog users that if they stopped, certain information could then be triggered based on when you stopped. Because the problem was that sometimes people would want to get some piece of information. They'd stop in the middle of the block and the dog's thinking, well, this isn't fit with our normal pattern doing thing. And the dog might stray off and be distracted and have their nose in the bushes. So we really wanted to avoid people having to stop. But if they did, the information would automatically trigger so they don't have to then take their hand off the harness and not pay attention to the dog.
Mm-hmm.
What enhancements have you made since the initial launch?
We've posted a form on our site for people to vote on features, and we put up about, I think, 7 or 8 features, and people voted. And their number 1 and 2 requests were to have the app run in the background. Now, I know once we do that, then people are going to be annoyed that it's sucking down their battery so much, because any GPS app does this. It'll drain your battery a good 20 or 30% an hour, depending on whether you've got Wi-Fi and Bluetooth and other things going. But that's something obviously you might want to just have it running in the background while you're reading your email or you're on the phone. You want the app to tell you when to turn. So that's one thing. And then the user-generated content, people really appreciate that feature. We've built up that expectation from our other products. And there's a list of 9 things that are going into version 1.1.
So we actually interviewed Mike in August of 2013, and version 1.1 was released about a week after we talked to him. And by October of 2013, they'd released version 1.2, which had even more fixes and enhancements.
So you might want to check out their website for the latest information as they keep on developing and enhancing the product.
Now for this week's high-tech item, getting the Seeing Eye GPS app and or additional information or products from Sendero Group.
So how would people find out more about this product if they'd like to try it out?
Well, there is no try mode. We got a lot of people asking about a trial, and Apple just doesn't offer this option on the iPhone for trial versions where you can, let's see what it's like for 30 days. The other thing that's a little tricky with GPS is that unlike some programs where you can try them on for size for 15 minutes and know whether you like it or not, the GPS is a lot of information. You got to wrap your head around it, and it takes a bit of time. I think it takes a week or two to get used to it. As you said earlier, in terms of attention bandwidth, anytime we're learning new things, it's best to get it in manageable chunks. That's why we don't recommend that somebody go get a new guide dog, start as freshman in college, and learn GPS, all three things at the same time. It'll scramble your brain. It's best to try to learn these things in small chunks, and therefore, hopefully people will commit to buying what we offer right now as a one-year or a three-year license.
And where do people go to find out more?
For more information on any Sendero products, you can go to senderogroup.com, S as in Sam, E-N-D-E-R-O group.com. And then we have a general URL where we try to post anything having to do with accessible GPS, and its domain name is appropriately accessiblegps.com.
Do you have a phone number?
The toll-free phone number in the U.S. for Sendero Group is 888-757-6810.
To get the Seeing Eye GPS app, go to iTunes. It's free to download, but when you launch it the first time, you'll be prompted to select a subscription plan for 1 or 3 years.
And we'll have links to all that information and the Sendero site in our show notes, as usual, along with other resources at www.eyesonsuccess.net.
That's it for show 1350. Next week on Eyes on Success, we'll be talking about regaining vision after decades of blindness, continuing our discussion with Mike May, who was the subject of Crashing Through, a best-selling book about his experiences regaining partial vision through a stem cell transfer and corneal transplant. Having lost his vision initially at age 3, his visual cortex was only partially developed. He had to learn some things he never knew and how to use what new vision he got. If you have any questions regarding something you've heard about on the show, or you'd like to share an idea for a future show, send an email to hosts@eyesonsuccess.net or call us at 585-258-0333, and we'll try to address your question in an upcoming program.
You've been listening to Eyes on Success, hosted and produced by Nancy Goodman-Torpey and Peter Torpey, and distributed by WXXI Reach Out Radio. For detailed information or a full archive of programs, visit www.eyesonsuccess.net. You can also follow us on Facebook and Audioboo at Eyes on Success and on Twitter at @_EyesOnSuccess. We hope you will join us again next week for more information and updates on products for accessible living. Thanks for listening to Eyes on Success, and have a nice day.